Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this.
Pete.
Yes.
So you want to talk about North Carolina?
Well, because I'm performing in North Carolina, and I actually asked the comedian.
You're not boycotting North Carolina?
Well, that's going to be my joke, I think. Well, a lot of people said, Pete, you're an intelligent, forward-thinking man of science and technology. Why are you not boycotting? Because I'm an academic and I need the money. That's basically it.
So I am happy to talk about this with you, but I do want to say one thing.
Yes?
I don't want to talk in any way that requires us to have facts about this.
Why is that?
Well, so here's my deal, right? The more recent and closer to home legal thing for me is the RFRA and the
it's a similar law.
Well, maybe, but for me, like, I read that bill. Mm-hmm. I read the bill a couple times and spent some time
thinking, religious freedom
bill. The Georgia HB 7 whatever it was, 757 or 787. It was like the shittiest plane you could get on, and I read it. And I read what all the senators and or legislators or whatever they are, what they had to say, especially that Josh McCoon guy who, you know.
Was he the guy that sponsored it?
No, it was, I think it was a Steve who sponsored it, but Josh McCoon sponsored the RFRA from last year that didn't go through and all that, all those shenanigans. Whoa, what is happening there? There's a device on your phone case that allows you to place it in front of you. Are you being controlled by the phone?
No, I can look at it and then drink my water.
I spent a lot of time looking into the bill and looking into what the defenders and attackers had to say about it in Georgia, and I felt comfortable talking about what was in it and my interpretations.
Okay.
North Carolina, that bill, not only is it different, but also I don't live there, you know? I don't.
Which is why it's so nice to poke fun at them, because only going to be up there for one night and two shows.
But I don't know what that's all about. So I don't want to get into a place where we're saying, well, see, constitutionally or
I'm not talking about legal precedent.
I am happy to have the conversation that is created by the bill's existence and people's responses and defenses. I'm cool with that. But I don't want to try and parse the legal language.
No, we're not. But I think generally what makes the North Carolina bill worse is not only is it sort of an anti-LGBT law, it prevents local governments from passing anti-discrimination
protections. Very different from
So if it's like you live in a liberal city. Yeah. Let's take Carrboro, North Carolina.
No, where I'm take going. Asheville, which
well,
I Carrboro's think seceded
near,
in the wake of this bill.
I think even more liberal than Asheville is, what is it, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, right? So academics always
tend to
be that
way. One of the points
of
the research triangle.
So Carrboro's right near Chapel Hill, so I'm pretty sure I'm on solid ground making fun of this bill because there'll be a lot of liberals there. But I just asked the comedian his opening for my friend Tim and I to give me his thoughts on that, and he said yes. But for you to prevent a local municipality from making a law banning discrimination based on, you know, gender preference, that's just mean. That's mean.
Isn't it? I mean,
it's just evil.
And even more specifically, isn't it the idea is that
isn't today's Hitler's birthday?
It is 420. That's true. to make a point that you can't protect a certain class, right? Is sort of worse than not protecting them.
Right, not only you can't, you're banned by law if you attempt.
Just like the Georgia bill had in it language that said, you know, no person can be forced to participate in a marriage.
Yeah, no minister can be compelled to do something they don't want to do.
To solemnize. But then also there was no one could be forced to participate in a marriage. And it turned out, it took me a while.
I think that's covered now, though.
Stop. No, no. Listen. The thing is about this is that you've heard the term dog whistle.
Yes.
Right? When it comes to cultural
gets everyone's attention. They all look up like dogs.
Yeah, but it only catches the people who can hear those dog whistles, right? So that's
right.
The participate in a gay marriage is a dog whistle in a way. Because if you remember, there was an Oregon bakery that was sued
for refusing to make a wedding cake.
For refusing to serve a customer, right? because Oregon has a law that you can't discriminate based on sexual orientation when it comes to your business. You're serving, right. serving your customers. So they broke the law because they wouldn't bake a wedding cake. And so what that became for people who sided with the bakers who wouldn't bake the cake
was being compelled to participate.
To participate.
Right. We talked about this before.
Did we?
But I think participation is different. You can't be compelled to go to your cousin's gay
wedding.
I
understand.
Pete, maybe you hate your cousin.
You think
maybe
it's
he's a jerk. Why?
But here's what I'm telling you, man. The reason that language was in there was because of that case.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're
that's
right.
That's what it
now
was
I
about.
See. You did mention that before, but you're absolutely right.
You know, so it was constructed in a way to say, this is what we're talking right. about. Whereas a regular person might right. say, sure, why not? I mean, you don't have to participate anyway. Who cares if the bill goes through? That's why they could say moderate religious protections, because who would say, no, I think people should be forced to go to gay weddings.
Right.
And let me...
And if they did, that would make a great sitcom.
Let me very quickly put in an asterisk. They're not gay weddings. They're just weddings.
Okay
sure.
Weddings in which a same-sex couple were being joined.
In holy matrimony. Except not, right? Because it's like... Right.
But if it's a civil ceremony, is it really holy? I don't know.
Yeah, are there any
joined in some matrimonial thingamabob.
And but, you know, no one's compelled to do blah, blah, blah. But are you participating if you rent tables to the wedding? Are you participating right. if you let them use your... Are
but
you participating if
you
pay taxes into the system that
if you have been
blah, blah, blah.
Granted a license by the state to do business, that's very different than deciding not to go to your neighbor's wedding.
Okay, so the North Carolina bill undoubtedly has stuff in it like that, because that is what's happening now in general, right? People are delivering the common sense, big quote marks, common sense version of this discrimination, of this, I think, bigotry. Some other people think adherence to religious faith.
But if you came into my bakery and said, Pete, I'd like you to make me a wedding cake
that
says...
Oh my God, do you have a bakery? That would be so nice.
No, but it'd be cool.
If you would just start baking, Pete, you could stop all
this
stress.
If you wanted me to put God hates fags on a wedding cake...
Why don't you get out of academia? Yeah, what would you do?
I would take the contract. I wouldn't particularly like it, but I don't believe I get to discriminate on what you want on your cake.
You don't?
Yeah, I may comment and say, you know, I think that's in poor taste. I would advise against it. But I still, you know, because once again, I probably need the money.
Yeah.
If I had a bakery.
I mean, you know.
What would you do if someone wanted a swastika and a lot of Jewish threats on a cake?
I'm a baker. Yeah, you know, I probably wouldn't do it. And then I'd be interested to find out if there was a case against me. And the reason I wouldn't feel hypocritical doing that is because...
That is kind of your...
I wouldn't be...
Philosophical belief?
I wouldn't be... philosophical, but what I'm saying is that I don't want to write God hates fags on a cake, and I don't want to put a swastika on a cake. And
me
those
neither.
Are... That's the refusing service... to a person because they're an asshole. And
I think that is a protected right.
Is it? I don't think it is, right? I mean, you know,
if not, it should be.
they can write it on there if they want, right? You know, I'm uncomfortable, obviously, about this. But here's
I would be uncomfortable
thing.
As well.
I don't think that it's a proper analogy to say that the sexual orientation of a customer and the political belief of a customer are the same. I don't think so. And then also, I don't think that it's an appropriate analogy to say that a wedding cake that will be used in a service that culturally is unpleasant to you is the same as having to write the words. And I think that that's...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know,
But to them, the objectionable words will be, you know, Bob and Steve...
Yeah, except...
Or put a cake topper with two guys
and
on it, or two
women.
And let's
go back to this. You know, Oregon has sexual orientation as a protected class.
Mm-hmm.
And
I might be using
class incorrectly here.
Okay.
And so that's already taken care of, right? That you can't discriminate based on that. Nazism is not a protected class in any of these states, right?
Good to know.
Wouldn't you say?
Probably not.
And as of right now, I don't think Georgia protects sexual orientation against discrimination.
No, we do not.
Right. So it's almost like you already have the right, you, the baker, already have the right to be a jerk to Nazis and gay people.
Right. Whereas in Oregon, why do you, Oregon, only Nazis.
Only Nazis. But so in Georgia, do you need to then say, I can be a jerk to gay people, and I want to make sure that no one ever says that I have to not be a jerk to gay people, right?
Okay. So that's why they're trying to pass that law here.
Why they tried to.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. You've derailed me with the question of what would I do in the bakery, you know?
Yeah, I guess I... So that's a good point. I mean, you turn the argument in another direction to point out the difference between, you know, general behavior and behavior toward protected classes. So you couldn't say, look, I'm not going to make your wedding cake because you're black or Asian or Hispanic or a particular race, gender, or something like that. Those are protected classes. Yeah. But I think we should protect...
Is religion a protected class also?
Yeah, because I don't think you can say, I'm not going to make your cake for a Jewish wedding.
Yeah, you know, so that means that Westboro Baptist Church can ask for the God Hates Fags cake, and suddenly you'll find yourself in the same hot water.
No, I think they can. But I wouldn't, because I would consider doing it. You're the one with principles.
Sorry, I would end up in hot water. I don't even know if it's principles. And also, this might be a reason that I don't have a bakery. You know, not in particular.
You know,
this
I'm
cake.
Kind of an agnostic or an atheist, so I'm not sure I recognize the idea of God. So I don't really know if God hates
I
fags.
Don't.
Maybe he does. Maybe he's a complete jerkwad.
So here's
doesn't like a lot of people.
Here's
that
a nice
I like.
Thing to remember, and this goes for everybody, right? Not just people that I disagree with or who disagree with me. But these hypotheticals, these analogies, and your first sort of emotional reaction to them, would you make that cake? My first reaction is no.
Yeah, that would be my first reaction too.
But you know what? I'd have to know what I was getting into if I opened this business you know, with the cake. I would have to be able to say, you know, what are the legal morasses that we can find ourselves in? Because where one, you know, it's like my father-in-law always says, you know, everybody's a little less free than the people before them. You have less freedoms than I had, and I have less freedoms than my father had, and his father has more freedoms.
Until the next revolution comes.
Do you think that's coming?
Then it gets reset. I don't think it's coming anytime soon because Bernie lost in New York.
So I would like to say that if I were a baker and I was being confronted with these cakes on a regular basis, because, you know,
stop with the cakes already.
That's something they say in bakery school during
so,
the ethics
and
class.
Now, cake ethics 101.
You will have.
You're confronted with a wedding cake. You didn't want this wedding cake. You didn't want this order, but it was thrust upon you like all.
I want to do a real Arlie Ermy impression out of Full Metal Jacket, kind of, you know, all the people that will come to you for cakes, but it would be so offensive and a hole I could not.
Is this the drill sergeant?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, so now I'm a
you
baker.
You can share that with me later, though. I'd like to hear
that. So now I'm a baker, and there are people who want me to make cakes that I don't agree with, that I'm not cool with, right? So much so, and some things are offensive to me. I have to have at least a little bit of a sense of what I'm legally protected.
Yeah, you should.
From doing, or what I'm allowed to do or say and not get into legal or civil trouble, right?
Right.
So when that happens, right, then that's the dilemma. You know, I want this Nazi cake. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, man, I don't know. Okay, got to think it through. Right now, just talking, I can say anything I want because my livelihood is not at stake, and it's just a hypothetical. So let us give everyone who wants to sort of straighten their spine and say, well, I would never, let's give them a little bit of slack.
Okay.
And I would say that these laws or these bills that are being, you know, vetoed, thank you, Governor Deal, or not vetoed, what was his name, McCrory?
McCrory, yeah.
Yeah.
Pat McCrory.
These are essentially requests to never have to deal with these situations.
With crap, yeah, okay.
Right, they are.
But isn't that why we make laws? Demands, so we have to deal with less crap.
Well, yeah.
I understand
but,
that.
But it's the request to never have to parse a transgender person's self-image with our established cultural norms of bathrooms. In fact, I gotta wonder, are there laws about bathrooms right now? I mean, is there a...
No, and if you go to a gay club, it's mass hysteria.
Dogs and cats peeing
living
together.
Yeah, good.
But the, so, yeah, like, I guess I can cut some people a little bit of slack. Wanting that bill, wanting to be able to, and the thing that folks are doing now, boycotting, you know, or being outraged, selectively outraged, as that governor would say, what a jackass.
But if I think about it, I think most transvestites, male transvestites, use the ladies' room at gay bars. That has been my experience. Yeah, I've seen them come and go.
So that's
do I really mind?
That's a very particular category you just described.
It is.
So transvestite.
Yeah, if you're in a gay bar, there's a men's room and a women's room, and you know, and the so gay the men use the men's room. Actually, they use the men's room for a lot more than just draining the main vein.
Dressed up as women, and
they tend to use the ladies' room.
And know that they are men dressed up as women, and want people to know that they're men dressed up as women. They use the ladies' room.
And I based that on an interesting anecdotal event where I was at a gay bar when I was a student in college. And I went there with some friends because my friend Daryl, his girlfriend at the time, Jane, who I believe is his wife now, there was a gay club that had really, it was a New Age night, Tuesday night. They played really good New Age music. I don't even remember what New Age music is now. And I'm sure it means something different
today. Dead Can Dance?
I don't know. But in any case, she wanted to go. She liked the music. She wanted to go to this club. It was a gay club. But on Tuesday nights, there it was probably 40% straight people because they liked the, and let's face it, the owners, someone's going to come in, listen to the music, and buy some drinks. I don't care. They want to, hey, come on in. There was a guy who can only be described as Rosie Greer-esque. Do you know who Rosie Greer is?
I guess I'll look her up.
No, him. He's a former NFL player.
His name's Rosie.
Rosie Greer, large African-American man, huge, just giant. Was a lineman or a linebacker?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
I just looked him up on the
internet. Yeah, very popular guy. Everybody, he did some acting. I think everyone likes Rosie Greer. Always a friendly dude. This guy looked like Rosie Greer, and he was in like a red dress with white polka dots.
Nice.
He, she, whatever. I don't know what stage of preoperative, you know, hormones she was in or not, was not fooling anyone. Well, and she walked into the ladies' room, and I walked in. I waited for women to come screaming out. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know, people are very tolerant. So, yeah, as long as you go in and you do your business. If I'm in a gay bar and someone in a dress walks up to me and pulls up next to me at the urinal, I'm going to be, well, you don't see that every day. But, you know, as long as they don't bother me, I don't care. I just don't care.
I remember once back in my serious drinking days, I went into a bar bathroom. It was a men's room, and there was a stall and a urinal. And the bartender, who was a woman, was in there.
Mm. Was she like snorting coke in the stall, though?
I don't know.
Well, but I've seen plenty of women at bars use the men's room because there's too much of a line at the ladies' room. And if they're in the stall, I don't care.
Let me finish.
Okay.
She was just standing near the sink.
Okay.
So away from the stall, away from the urinal.
Yeah.
So I just walked by her and used the urinal.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think she turned around and said, and I remember it weirdly now because, you know, I was drunk. But I think she said, all right, well, I'm impressed. You can just walk right by me and use the bathroom like nobody's in here.
Yeah, I would do the same thing.
Yeah, and the thing was is I never thought for a moment that since she was in there, I should treat the bathroom differently.
No.
I was more like, you're in here. Okay.
Yeah, I got to go. I'm not going to wait just because you're in here. What was she fixing her makeup, washing her hands?
I have no idea.
Nor did you care.
I didn't care. And it was only maybe the next day that I started thinking, was she mad at me? Did she find that offensive? You know?
No, it might have been a compliment because a lot of guys get a little shy bladder.
But
I do that if I got to go and there's a female janitor cleaning the restroom, I don't care. I got to go.
Well, now that's interesting. You know what? I think a female janitor, I would say, can I use the bathroom and ask them to clear out?
Right, because they have a reason to be there.
Well, because it's their job.
Yeah. But the problem is, building...
Wait. It's also the bartender's job, wasn't it? I mean, like, if she was in charge...
Oh, maybe she was cleaning the sink.
Like, if she had to clean something, or if she... you know, oh, poor lady, if she had to unclog a toilet or something.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I was in the wrong. Because someone in a uniform who was cleaning the bathroom and had to do it, I would not say, well, you're in here, right? So I should have said, oh, man, now that I think about it, what a dick
move.
Was
this such a social faux pas? I think not. But it reminds me of my favorite quote.
But it was a faux pas.
I believe this was an incident in the ladies' room where a gentleman, one of my favorite movies, walked in and she goes, this is for ladies. And he goes, so is this, Mom. But every once in a while, I have to run a little water through it.
Peter O'Toole.
My favorite year. Yeah. Oh, what a great line. So we've been dealing with this since, when was that movie made? 70s, 80s?
80s. But when you say dealing with, we haven't been dealing with anything. It's just
we've been dealing with people walking in the wrong restroom all the time.
Bathroom. The bathroom is, you know.
And if you've ever been in a club, you're going to find women in the men's room.
Right. The bathroom's understood to be a place where you go and it's just you and all the people who have the same equipment as yours.
And even if they don't, I don't really care.
Yeah, sure. But I think, you know, it's understood and that the rules that apply to just your grouping.
But they're saying if you've had your equipment changed recently, you're not allowed. That's what it says.
No, no. I don't think it has anything to do with operations. And this is why I don't want to talk about facts, right?
They must use the public restroom that corresponds to the gender on their birth certificate.
Right.
Oh, I wonder if you could get that changed, though.
And that's the other thing, Pete. Like, it has nothing to do with if you remove, you know, the remove your private parts,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're a person who your transgenderism is
particularly when you're in between, you're
right when it's
you relate.
I think some people transition and never go for any sort of surgical solution.
And that's
okay.
But if a very conservative woman in flannel walked in to use the men's room, how could I tell? I can't tell them apart.
Just a conservative woman?
Yeah, that's not what I want. I want butch. Do I want butch? I don't know. I don't know what I want. I just don't care. I mean, we're messing with stereotypes, and people are gonna tweet you and say, "Hey, what's your problem?"
Well, listen, the both of us don't have any idea what we're talking about.
And thank God for that.
But I'm just saying. Well, yeah, and then comments like that. Look, you're the one who's really acting.
Short
like
of my Rosie Greer incident, we have limited interaction with finding strangers in the restroom.
Well, certainly, like someone who is in passable drag, mm-hmm. right? Would you ever really know? Would you ever really know? Ooh. That's the
now standing right next to Rosie Greer was this rather attractive creature, who the only way I could tell it was a guy when you got up real close as we were walking out of the club, you could see the foundation concealing his stubble.
There you go.
That's it. But some women have facial hair issues, so I'm not going to judge. I don't think that's right. Nor do I care. Why do we care about this?
Well, I think we care. My guess is that the reason that this has really become an issue is because kids in high schools
mm-hmm.
are coming out as trans or identifying as
or
trans.
There's six other words that describe it, too. There's like agender. You don't relate to either one.
Well,
which restroom do you use then? Either one, you can change by the day of the week.
But I think it's because it's kids in high school mm-hmm. or younger, and this is kind of a lightning rod moment,
mm-hmm.
you know. And by moment, I mean years, few years. But when a 16-year-old is asking for permission to use the men's room, when she was born a woman mm-hmm. but identifies as a boy, born female, identifies as male. Wants to use the boys' room in high school, like then I think that it really it goes far beyond the whole we're all in this bathroom together. It doesn't really matter. Just don't be an asshole. Because like if a woman walked into the men's room, walked into the stall, used it, washed her hands and left, and never said anything, never made eye contact, I kind of feel like most men would just let it go, not even care.
I agree.
And that's one thing, right? The opposite, I don't think is true.
A lot of screaming and running.
Well, I mean, not even screaming and running so much as just, excuse me, you are in the wrong place because of the proportions of predatory men versus proportions of predatory women.
Right? I'll allow it. Yeah. I understand that one.
And then when your wards, when your charges, when the children that you are in charge of want to go in the different bathrooms, then it gets real sort of like, well, what are we supposed to be stopping? What are we supposed to be worrying about? And, you know, the male privilege of this interloper is in the bathroom, who cares,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's easy for us because we come at it from a viewpoint of privilege.
Oh, yeah. And safety and just
right.
Like,
so
disregard.
I'm not saying we don't need discussion or even policies. I just don't think we need a statewide law.
Right. But some people do. And don't, and they probably have internally a point, which is kind of a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Why are you looking at me like that?
What do you mean internally a point? Meaning they think they have a point.
I think that they have a coherent point of their response.
Yeah.
Right? The reason that they want this is not blind hate or terror.
Well, for some of them it is, I think.
I think that if you hate people who dress up as the other gender, whatever. If you hate those people, you're not looking to have things fixed by a bill, right? You punch those people, you attack them, right?
Well, you're getting right to the point, aren't you?
I'm saying, like, if
maybe
like blind hate and like a sort of eradicative,
right? To
emotion,
eradicate these,
right?
Things.
That's not the people who are like, yeah, make a bathroom bill, right? But people who are like, well, I understand that people are adults and they can do what they like.
They're just
but
worried
just
about their kids.
I don't think that men should use the women's room, and I don't think that women should be in the men's room, right?
Because what if it's a teacher
thing.
At your kid's middle school?
See, you can make an argument that creates discomfort and it makes you not want to deal with the ambiguity, right? And you got, I mean, yes, you always
I'd rather
have
deal
to
deal
with
it up front.
You always have to deal with ambiguity, but can you not empathize with the people who would like to be free?
No.
Of it?
Oh, I am. I, nobody likes conflict and ambiguity. I sympathize with them. I think they're just oversimplifying.
Simplicating?
That's a great word.
That
was the second word we made up. We made up one last time. I think they've oversimplified the whole thing. That's all.
Now, it's harder to make fun of people for oversimplifying than for being douche monkeys, right?
True, but that won't stop me.
Let's record another outro.
Okay.
Consilience with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities. Why? This feels so fake.
Do it anyway.
Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Bennett Radio and Pete Ludovus.
Or you can find us on the back porch of Rocky Mountain Pizza in Midtown Atlanta drinking cheap beer.